News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. A week of war, and it's only intensifying.
Iranian missiles hitting multiple locations inside Israel today, including a direct hit on a medical building in southern Israel. Firefighters say apartment buildings were also hit.
ABC's Nicole D'Antonio. As President Trump considers military action unless there's a deal, there is word this morning that Iran will send its foreign minister to meet with European counterparts tomorrow in Geneva. Hackers possibly linked to Israel say they've wiped out $90 million from an Iranian crypto exchange. Well, this was fast. Hurricane Eric was a tropical storm one day ago and rapidly intensified into a Category 4. It just made landfall in western Mexico, downgraded to a Category 3, Acapulco now in a hurricane warning. Texas got rocked when a SpaceX rocket blew up on the pad. That's a sound from 2 miles away. You're listening to ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Fresh Realm establishments are recalling chicken fettuccine Alfredo products that may be adulterated with an outbreak strain of Listeria monocytogenes, or LM. Out of an abundance of caution, the company is voluntarily recalling all products produced prior to June 17th that are available under the following brand names and shipped to Kroger and Walmart retail locations nationwide. 32.8-ounce tray packages containing market-side grilled chicken Alfredo with fettuccine tender pasta with creamy Alfredo sauce, white meat chicken, and shaved Parmesan cheese with Best Buy date, June 27, 2025 or prior. 12.3-ounce tray packages containing market-side grilled chicken Alfredo with fettuccine, tender pasta with creamy Alfredo sauce, white meat chicken, broccoli, and shaved Parmesan cheese with Best Buy date June 26, 2025 or prior. And 12.5-ounce tray packages containing Home Chef Heat and Eat Chicken Fettuccine Alfredo with pasta, grilled white meat chicken, and Parmesan cheese with Best Buy date June 19, 2025 or prior. The products bear the USDA mark of inspection on the product label as well as establishment numbers ESTP50784, ESTP47770, or ESTP47718 printed on the side of the packaging. The Department of Agriculture's Food Safety and Inspection Service and public health partners are investigating an outbreak of LM that currently includes 17 ill people in 13 states. As of June 17th, there have been 3 reported deaths and 1 fetal loss associated with this outbreak. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
It's play ball today at Wrigley. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and Chicago Cubs playing today after being rained out last night. The game has now been rescheduled to create a doubleheader between the two teams August 18th. NFL former Packers place kicker Anders Carlson has been released by the New York Jets. Carlson, drafted in the 6th round in 2023 by the Packers, has spent time with the 49ers and now the Jets. Former Packers defensive back and special teams guy Robert Rochelle has signed with the Dallas Cowboys. NBA, the Pacers host the Thunder tonight in Indianapolis. Tyrese Halliburton doing everything he can to get back on the court despite a strained right calf muscle.
I mean, I think just around-the-clock stuff as much as I can. Massage, needles, hyperbaric, H-wave. I mean, just a bunch of different things to try to get it to feel as comfortable as you can going into it. The right tape and stuff. I'm sure there's a bunch of medical professionals who better answer, but just doing everything that I'm told, trying to do everything I can.
That's the Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Sunny and warm for your Juneteenth with a high of 83. For tonight, an isolated shower possible late, otherwise just partly cloudy and mild, a low of 63. Another warm one on Friday, a shower or storm possible mainly in the morning, a high of 84. Current temperature, 63.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
There's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
We'll talk with former Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen about his bipartisan effort with the Democracy Defense Project.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. News from the Center, WRCE.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It's 8:06. Nice to have you back here up north on this Thursday morning, June 19th, 2025. Appreciate your company as we head into our third hour here on this Thursday. Making our way ever closer to the weekend. We'll talk to Chad Holmes coming up in just a little bit, as well as meteorologist Brittany Merlot, not just about the forecast, but she's also got a story up on the Civic Media site about smallmouth bass season. So we'll get into that as well. Parker Olson is standing by in Madison Studio A2, where I'm reminded that there was a question that came in the comment sections on Facebook earlier that I did not address with you from Greg in Waukesha. How much water does Parker drink in a day?
It really varies. Probably about a bottle and a half of this a day. I don't know.
What is that? Is that a 16-ounce bottle there?
My guess would be 16.
22? I can never really tell.
Okay. Probably 16. I don't know.
Okay. And you're still claiming it's mostly water.
I'm claiming that it is entirely water while I'm on the clock.
That's a good story, and you just stick to that.
Thank you, sir.
Folks who missed it earlier, Roger and Stevens Point got up on Facebook and said that WIAA State Baseball wraps up today with four championships, and he says best of luck to the Pacelli Cardinals. Chad, do you happen to have in front of you who all is in the championships today?
I do not.
That's huge. See what happens when they spring stuff on you when you're live on air? I apologize for that. I just figured if anybody did, it was going to be you. So,
well, unfortunately, none of my teams are involved in
that's
it.
That's true. So see what's yep. You're like, I'm off the clock. This ain't water in this water bottle.
I would throw it right on the back of my hand otherwise.
It reminds me, I'm using today's coffee mug is from Drink Wisconsinably. And of course, on the mug, it says, shh, this isn't coffee.
Real fast, I will tell you, Division I Badger takes on Muskego, Division II Seymour against New Berlin Eisenhower, Kewaunee against Kenosha St. Joe's in Division III, and then, as mentioned, Pacelli against Johnson Creek in Division IV.
There you go. See, the man knows how to get the info. If it's sports, he's going to get it for you for Wisconsin High School sports. If it's weather, you're going to get it from meteorologist Brittany Merlot. As we're not just heading toward the weekend, we're heading toward the oven.
Yes, we are.
it's just another way to put it. It is going to be sauna-like, as you put it.
Yes, it is steamy. We're going to be cooking out there. Okay. Temperatures today, not too bad. 55 to about 68 degrees this morning. We've got a little bit of light rain rolling by Rice Lake. Otherwise, a lot of sunshine out there and a few clouds mixed in too. Go figure, of course. We've still got this front sitting over the state, so we do have chances for scattered showers and storms still, especially north on occasion, very stray, very light, very brief. But otherwise, tonight, they spark up again after highs today reach the upper 70s to low 80s. Dew points are actually on the comfortable side, a little sticky still. but they're in the 50s. So as we go through the weekend, they're going to go from the 50s to the 70s, and not just low 70s, mid to upper 70 degree dew points. And if you don't know what that means, when you hit a 70 degree dew point, that means it's pretty oppressive. It is hard to evaporate the sweat off of your skin. You feel just kind of claustrophobic, right? The air is heavy around you. That's because it's saturated with moisture. So it's harder to evaporate the sweat off your skin and keep you cool. So you can get hot so, so fast and easy. So it's a good time to hydrate now. I've got my Flash IV. That's what I'm doing right now. Anything you can do to hydrate.
You should put this up on YouTube. I try to drink at least one 40-ounce bottle of water a day.
Whoa. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. The more you can, the better. And don't do it all at once, too. Slowly drink throughout the day, right? It helps saturate, you know, into your system a little bit easier. But the dew points in the mid-70s, temperatures in the 90s, it is going to be feeling like with the heat index, triple digits, about 100 to 105 degrees. So pay attention to yourself, okay? If you start to sweat a lot and then all of a sudden you stop, or if you start to get confused or dizzy or lightheaded or start to see stars, you need to get in the AC, you need to get inside, stay cool, rest, hydrate, all of those things.
All right, Brittany, thank you so much for the update. And, you know, I know you'll find ways to keep cool. Chad, we were talking about fairs and festivals starting up this weekend, like Summerfest and others. Anything on your near radar for your neck of the woods?
Well, the big one here is the Wisconsin Valley Fair, which is not till the end of July, early August. So that's always the big one. And there's usually some activities going on around the 4th of July as well. But we're not quite to that spot of the summer here, at least in the Wausau area.
No, that's all right. And Brittany had mentioned earlier that you've got an article at the Civic Media site over in the news section about smallmouth bass season starting up. That would be, is it Sunday, June 21st?
Saturday.
Saturday. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Today's Saturday. Thursday. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, all up north, you finally can. So pretty much Douglas, Sawyer, Price, Lincoln, Langley, Door Counties, and north, you can go ahead and go fishing. So the Wisconsin-Minnesota boundary waters, the tributaries to Lake Michigan, Lake Superior, all of those awesome places you can catch and release smallmouth bass starting Saturday through March.
All right. Again, more details on the Civic Media site. Thank you, Brittany. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. So Chad is, you can find him over at 98.9 WXCO out of Wausau, following stories up there. What are you working on this week? What are you monitoring?
One that I'm going to be speaking of in our next segment right after this involves Mayor Doug Dinney. We had recently saw an editorial from the editor of the Wausau Pilot and Review endorsing a city manager form of government. And yesterday there was a letter to the editor in the Pilot from Mayor Doug Dinney.
You don't say.
Endorsing that as well. And a few of the interesting aspects of this letter to the editor. I think an argument could be made. I think we touched on it previously that in the sense that, at least I believe that the default should always be where the voters in our form of government decide who's going to be the leaders. I think there can be an argument made that having somebody of a professional nature could work, but it's not a panacea for those who think it is. But a few of the notes in terms of what Dinney said in this note, and one of the ones that this, again, if this is truly about just specifically in terms of making a better government, number one, he ran on the idea that he was going to come in and just be the guy that was at the till. We had too much Katie Rosenberg being out there and trying to be a moral voice in our community. We can't have that. We just need somebody who's going to punch in every day and do the job. Well, it hasn't exactly been that way. But even in this note, he talks about, I believed that with enough effort, we could overcome dysfunction and personality-driven politics. Another shot right there at the former mayor. And my first thought is, if there's nothing else you can say about Donald Trump, isn't it about personality-based politics, driven politics?
Yes.
I mean, the idea that the mayor of a community or the governor of a state or the president of the United States is not in some way a moral force or a person whose personality does drive a lot of the conversation, and it should, in a good way, I find to be a bit silly. But also the whole idea of Doug Dinney comes in and he thought that he was going to be able to come in here and fix all the things that he saw that were wrong, and he's finding that he can't do it. So doggone it, if I can't do it, let's bring in a city manager. I kind of just shake my head at that. And I guess the final point before I allow you to maybe give a thought or two, because I'd be very interested in that as well. This is the continuation of what we've seen since 1980. And Ronald Reagan, and the whole idea from the right in this country that government doesn't work. They come in, they're inept, and then they raise their hand and say, well, government doesn't work. Well, I just think that the mayor needs to look in the mirror a little bit here on why it hasn't worked in Wausau for the past year.
I guess I couldn't agree more, because I can't envision a professional hired city manager taking it upon himself to commandeer an absentee ballot drop box and say, I don't think this should be here, so I'm going to move it. But when you are elected mayor, you know, it gives you a pretty high opinion of yourself for some people. And they feel like, much like a Donald Trump, I'm the boss. I can do whatever I want. And what really bothered Trump in his first term was being told, no, as president, you can't do whatever you want. But he was being told that by other Republicans with respect for the rule of law and norms and the Constitution. And Trump this time around just didn't surround himself with those folks, and through sheer force of will is getting things done until courts tell him that he can't. And then he's got to decide whether to ignore the courts or not. You've got Robin Voss, who's been able to do this thanks to gerrymandered maps. And I think maybe the mayor there is wishing he had some of these accessories or accomplices or whatever. But when it's just you on your own, telling you, no, you can't do those things that you thought you could do, I suppose it's easier to just blame the system.
And the whole thing about it is exactly right. Because again, he's also mentioned in this letter to the editor, I have come to realize that it's not just a matter of effort or goodwill. Well, I've seen a lot of effort and goodwill from the mayor's office in the last year, right? Mm-hmm. It's about structure. So the whole idea is, if I can't make this work, then nobody can make this work. I mean, come on. I mean, he's made, I think the first step for the mayor, if he wants to become a successful chief executive of this community, is to realize his own errors. It's not all structure. There have been self-inflicted wounds from him, and it's not, and it feels like this almost has come up as a godsend for him. Oh, it's not my fault that things are dysfunctional here in this community. It's the structure.
Well, again, what do you never hear from Robin Voss or Donald Trump? You never hear contrition. You never hear accountability, where they go, I was wrong about this. I was mistaken about this. It's, I'm right no matter what. Even if I know I'm wrong, I'm going to keep repeating it over and over and blame anybody else. And unfortunately, we've turned compromise into a dirty word in this country, and we've turned contrition into a dirty word in this country. And, you know, we are going to need leaders who can do those things without being painted as weak. And that's a very tall order, but I think that's what we're going to have here. So
no, I agree with that 100%. But right. I mean, obviously this conversation is now really going to, I think, ramp up a little bit. We had the initial.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Media. By the way, let me ask you the real fact. I don't really have a minute and a half. What do you think of this media-driven dialogue that we see here? And I'm going to say it right out front. I've been hearing a lot on this airwaves since Dan Schaefer put out his article on Tony Evers. Is this a good thing in your mind?
What, talking about it?
No, the whole idea that, well, all of a sudden it's become a huge story because one journalist has put out an opinion piece, and now everybody's talking about it. And I just feel like sometimes this train, it's a lot of momentum in ways that maybe is not exactly the right way to go.
I actually give Dan Schaefer credit for this, in that the conversation was going to be had at some point. It might have started with an Evers announcement, but at some point it was going to happen anyway. And Dan thought, well, let's kick this off. You know, none of the rank and file Democrats want to kick this off because they don't want to look disloyal by simply bringing up this as a topic of conversation. Dan Schaefer saw what was happening with the national Democrats and said, well, I'll get it started. And he's certainly gotten some blowback, but he's gotten other people saying, well, at least we're talking about it, and we will continue to. And Chad Holmes will follow it at 98.9 WXCO as well. So more to come on that. He's got a local update coming up next for folks in the Wausau market. Have a great day and a good weekend there, Chad.
Thank you, Pat.
All right. We'll talk to you again next week. We talk to him on Tuesdays and Thursdays here in the 8 o'clock hour on these mornings powered by Up North News. A local update's next for some of you. You'll be hanging here. I'll be talking to Sean O'Malley about Trump and the crypto bros right after this. You're up north.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. For the last few months, Governor Tony Evers has said repeatedly that he would make a decision about whether or not to run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. In a recent opinion column at the Recombobulation Area, I made the argument that the decision that Evers should make should be to not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. This argument is not one of ideological differences or policy disagreements. Tony Evers has been a good governor and has served the state well. This more has to do with Evers' age. He'll be 75 years old in November 2026, and about how the Democratic Party has had a massive, inescapable problem in its unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. Tony Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. And after Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, this is a conversation we need to be having, and we need to be having it now. Democrats can't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. It's time to do things differently.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. The Todd Albaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the UW system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night. And today, the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers. Through CPR education and access to AEDs, nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Joanne Krulotz, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
Governor Tony Evers urges Republicans in the legislature to approve investments in broadband. The Democratic governor requested $400 million in his executive budget for the Broadband Expansion Grant Program to provide or improve broadband internet in underserved areas. The governor's request comes as the Trump administration has made sweeping changes to the federal Broadband Equity Access and Deployment Program. Evers' office says that will further delay bringing affordable, high-speed internet to more Wisconsin homes and businesses. The Public Service Commission of Wisconsin estimates that 39% of Wisconsinites lack access to affordable internet. States Superintendent Dr. Jill Underley released a statement on Friday criticizing the level of school funding in the budget approved by the Republican-controlled Joint Committee on Finance. Dr. Underley said the budget motion fails the state students, educators, and public schools, arguing that it raises property taxes, cuts youth mental health funding, and doesn't support students with disabilities. School funding has become a controversial topic in recent years as districts across the state turn to operational referendums to solve budget issues. Some state lawmakers are expressing concerns about proposed legislation to include a plain language explanation for ballot referendums. The legislation specifies that the explanation would be written by the nonpartisan Legislative Reference Bureau, but could be revised by lawmakers afterwards. Critics of the proposal say the legislative majority could have too much control over the process. They also argue the language of the legislation fails to define what exactly plain language means and that it lacks an enforcement mechanism to ensure fairness. A unanimous decision released Tuesday by the Wisconsin Supreme Court returned some authority over resolving lawsuits to the state's attorney general without involvement of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. Committee co-chair Senator Howard Markline says the ruling wasn't a surprise.
I don't think anything is really effectively going to change. Anytime we've got a settlement notice, we have very quickly acted on that. We've approved every single one of those settlements.
In a statement, Attorney General Josh Call said the ruling on the lame duck law, passed by Republicans in 2018, will allow the Wisconsin Department of Justice to more efficiently resolve the cases impacted by the decision, including civil actions enforcing consumer and environmental protection laws. It was a quick meeting for the Richland County Board of Supervisors last night. The Board of Supervisors approved MIS to apply for and accept a PSAP grant from Wisconsin Department of Military Affairs to provide additional funding for the equipment upgrades and advanced training necessary for Next Generation 911 implementation. The grant would fund up to $750,000 and requires a minimum local match of 10%. And for MIS to apply for and accept an NG911 GIS grant from Wisconsin Department of Military Affairs to provide additional funding for the equipment upgrades and advanced training necessary for Next Generation 911 implementation. The grant would fund up to a maximum allowable reward and requires a minimum local match of 10%. Also approved was a public comment form, which will assist in efforts to establish a process and procedure for managing public comments. It was stated that there are numerous advantages to having an established process and procedure for managing public comments. The public comment form will be available to the public in both electronic and paper formats. The board also approved the appointment of Monica Deaver to the Nutrition Advisory Council as the volunteer driver's representative, replacing Roseanne Knorr. The appointment of Kevin Nolan to the vacant Meals on Wheels participant position. The appointment of David Rasmussen as the Germantown representative, replacing Lee Van Landide. And the appointment of Diane Cox to the Aging ADRC Advisory Committee to be the member representing members over 60, replacing Terry Berg. Attorney General Josh Call joined a bipartisan coalition of 51 other attorneys general in filing an amicus brief in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit standing with military veterans and their families to ensure they receive full GI Bill education benefits by the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. The case, Yoon versus Collins, centers on Lieutenant Colonel Paul Yoon, a decorated Army veteran who served nearly 24 years, including deployments to Iraq, Afghanistan, and Kosovo. Despite the U.S. Supreme Court's decision in Rudisill versus McDonough, the VA continues to deny Lieutenant Colonel Yoon full GI Bill education benefits and has blocked him from transferring those benefits to his daughter. In Rudisill, the Supreme Court held that veterans who qualify under both the Montgomery and post-911 GI Bills are entitled to 48 months of combined education benefits based on their total length of service. The VA's refusal to apply that ruling to Lieutenant Colonel Yoon's case directly contradicts the Supreme Court's decision and undermines the federal government's commitment to those who have served. Atlantic hurricane season began this month. Disasters like hurricanes and severe summer weather can disrupt blood drives for several days and impact the momentum of a growing blood supply. Help the American Red Cross plan for the unexpected by making an appointment to give blood or platelets. A blood drive will be held Friday from 11:30 to 5:30 at the Rescue Squad building in Mineral Point. While you may be engaging in outdoor adventures this month, the Red Cross asks you to make an appointment to donate by visiting redcrossblood.org, calling 1-800-RED-CROSS, or by using the Red Cross Blood Donor app. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding residents that the deadline for submitting applications to join the Beaver Management Plan Committee is this week. The agency is seeking organizations that focus on things like trapping, fishing, agriculture, and conservation. The committee will be tasked with providing input to the Department of Natural Resources during the development of an updated beaver management plan. More information can be found on the DNR's Beaver Management Plan webpage, and applications will be accepted until Friday.
You've been listening to WRCE's local news on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. The Joint Finance Committee finalized another piece of Republican state budget, this time the operating budget for the Department of Corrections. There are some increases, but a fraction of what was included in the governor's proposal. The Republicans' plan includes about $136 million in increases for the Department of Corrections statewide over the next 2 years. That includes paying for 18 new employees across the department. Governor Tony Evers' plan would have invested $500 million. Large chunks of that money would have gone toward closing long-troubled facilities in the state, including Green Bay Correctional Institution, Lincoln Hills, and Copper Lake. Republicans say they'll get to the capital budget, which in theory would include projects like that, in tomorrow's session. A unanimous decision released Tuesday by the Wisconsin Supreme Court returned some authority over resolving lawsuits to the state's attorney general without involvement of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. Committee co-chair Senator Howard Markline says the ruling wasn't a surprise.
I don't think anything is really effectively going to change. Anytime we've got a settlement notice, we have very quickly acted on that. We've approved every single one of those settlements.
Donors and volunteers answered the call by the Red Cross as 60 units of blood were collected at the Muscadet Community Blood Drive Tuesday, including 26 double red cell donations. Registration volunteers were Jackie Schmadick, Asher Frazier, and Kate Frazier. Dorcas St. Peter served refreshments and provided homemade baked goods. The next Muscadet Community Blood Drive is Tuesday, August 26, from 11:30 to 5:30, and is available for scheduling now. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Sometimes superheroes need to be stuck up for when they are being bullied, at least when it comes to movies. The marvelous Miss Maisel, also known as Rachel Brosnahan, stuck up for superhero movies. She chatted with Amanda Seyfried for an article in Interview Magazine. Both actors agreed if an actor is going to do a superhero role, they need to own it. As opposed to what Dakota Johnson said after starring in Madam Web and basically trashing the film after it flopped at the box office. Brosnahan is set to play Lois Lane in the upcoming Superman film. As usual, there will be a battle for the top spot at the box office this coming weekend. Distribution prognosticators are predicting How to Train Your Dragon will keep the top spot after a monster opening weekend. Duking it out for the number two spot at the box office, according to Variety, will be 28 Years Later, the third installment of the 28 Days franchise, and first installment of a new trilogy and Pixar's Elio, a little bit of horror and some family-friendly fare. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Sunny and warm for your Juneteenth with a high of 83. For tonight, an isolated shower possible late, otherwise just partly cloudy and mild, a low of 63. Another warm one on Friday, a shower or storm possible mainly in the morning, a high of 84. Right now, it's 64 degrees.
Matt and Air on Air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, can we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of
of the stigma.
If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Tomorrow, we've got celebrity guests. We've got Marcelia Nicholson, Milwaukee County Board Chair, Sabrina Madison, Dana Pelobon, and Ellie Halo, a woman of Black trans experience. Do not miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
All right, here he is now. He's fresh off the campaign trail, just back from a state convention, full of news to talk to us about, but we don't want to forget the lead story. We don't want to bury the lead in all of this. Please welcome to the program Uncle Joe, uncle of a Little Miss Polish Fest princess, Princess Everett. Congratulations, Uncle Joe.
Thank you. She is the cutest little thing in the world, as is her little sister, Micah. We were very sorry to have to miss Polish Fest because we were otherwise indisposed in the Wisconsin Dells. But hey, at least one Zepecki won something this week.
That was an amazing showing, and I'll get to it in a second, but I want to stick with the festivals just long enough to reiterate what Melissa and I talked about yesterday, that your family, much like in my case, there's as much German as there is Polish in this thing, and Polish, or German Fest, rather, is not that far away where, again, you can see Joe in all of his cultural best.
That's right. I will be working Friday night and Sunday afternoon at German Fest. You can come get a brat or a Hungarian that was grilled by yours truly. So we hope to see everybody at German Fest after missing my first Polish Fest probably since I moved back home to Wisconsin in 2011. Wow. So I think every year, 2012 through 2024, I made it. I got to start a new streak.
I think you had good reason, and that's where I just want to allow you to, you know, take whatever time you need to talk about the race for state chair and all of the hundreds of really awesome people who voted for you.
Yeah, it was a phenomenal experience. I have said more than once over the last couple of days that I would do this all over again in a heartbeat, even knowing how it ended. That is how much it has meant to me to build relationships around the state, to make an impact within the Democratic Party. And we know that we have. People have been extraordinarily kind in the aftermath of Sunday afternoon's vote, talking about the ways in which our message moved them and inspired them to maybe reengage, or if they had been engaged, to really step up what they we're doing for our movement. And so I have no regrets whatsoever. I have nothing but the best wishes to Devin Remiker and the WIS Dems team going forward. I really appreciated William Garcia stepping up and running as well. This was a slog, and it wasn't that it was a months and months and months and months long campaign, as these have sometimes been closer to like 6 months on the road. Mm-hmm. But the fact that it was such a truncated timetable meant that the three of us had to work our tails off and get around the state. And, you know, that was just a different kind of sprint than I've ever been a part of, but it was a terrific experience. I do think that the weekend in the Dells revealed some things that I hope will change in the future. And that certainly both Devin and I just didn't see William as much in the last week before the convention, but both Devin and I were talking about, ahead of the convention, barriers to entry and how we were probably asking too much of folks to be able to give up a full weekend, deal with the financial hit of attending convention, having to be there having to plan to be there so that they could participate. We are the pro-democracy, pro-participation party, and I think it is fair to say that there are some ways in which we haven't lived up to that. There, you know, and we'll see what that looks like, but I would certainly be supportive of and lend my name and support to any moves to ensure more people could participate at a much lower price point. We are the party of working women and men, and we have to make sure that we can accommodate those folks being a part of our process. Full stop, period. I know Devin heard that. Devin talked about that in the last week, and I do have hope that those kinds of changes will be coming in the future.
What other observations did you have going into this after talking to people coming out of, you know, Trump winning, but also winning the state Supreme Court race? So where do you think things go based on the conversations that you had? Are people nervous about, you know, where the governor's race might go? Are they angry about things that are happening with the state budget? What was your whole barometer on the delegates?
Well, let's take the sort of future elections question, you know, the governor, and put that on the table for just one moment. I think it is fair to say that there is an appetite for change even within the Democratic Party. And the line that we were trying to walk was we recognize that Democrats nationally have real brand issues. We have work to do. And the reality that the WISDEMS operation is the envy of 49 other Democratic parties around the country. And so it's not a straight change message. It's not a straight stay the course, right track message. It was somewhere in between. And I think when you look at how the votes shook out, certainly the conversations that I had across the weekend and across the last 2 months tell me that even the most plugged in and engaged Democrats, or, you know, the pejorative of that would be the establishment, people recognize that there are some things we have to do differently. I think that message came through loud and clear. I have every expectation that Devin and the WISDEMS team know that and heard that, because along the campaign trail, he was talking about changes we need to make as well to make sure that we are using all of the tools in the toolbox to reach people, that we are not one size fits all, that we are listening to the experts on the ground in their parts of the state. And so that rang clear to me, that as everything in the world is so chaotic and there's so much turmoil and so much of it is a choice by Donald Trump or due to the failure of congressional Republicans to stand up and check this president, that Democrats know we have work to do, we have to get better, we have to improve. And I think that came through loud and clear. To the second part of your question, you know, are folks worried about next year? Quite the contrary. I think people are really fired up at what we can accomplish next year. The fact that both chambers of the legislature are flippable, the fact that we have a terrific governor in Tony Evers, who has done a great job in really, really difficult circumstances throughout his two terms. I think people are fired up and ready to get to work. They just want to make sure that the work that they're doing is informed and strategic and smart. And that's where some of those changes around the edges come in. But I got the sense that people are fired up and ready to go. You certainly had people who have never been to conventions before stepping up to be a part of the process. And you had people who maybe had been a part and then had grown weary and frustrated who have reengaged at this moment. That all bodes extraordinarily well for Democrats next year.
Let's turn our attention then to what's happening in the here and now inside the Capitol, and the news that Republicans, led by Speaker Voss, at first Republicans were kind of downplaying this, but now Robin Voss is just right out there saying not only would they not go with Governor Evers' proposal to increase UW funding, they wouldn't go with a lesser amount. They would actually cut some of the funding for the UW. And Robin Voss is being right out there again saying the UW is too woke and too intolerant. And so this is simply for punitive purposes, which is about as petty as it gets. But if that goes through, Joe, I mean, you can comment on why you would even put that out there. But if you do, I mean, why are we even having a budget debate after this point? Governor Evers, you can't partial veto that.
No, this is copycatism at its worst. And it is one of the costs that we have to reckon with of Donald Trump being in our lives for the last 10 years. I believe it was yesterday, maybe Tuesday, that marked 10 years since Donald Trump came down the elevator and announced he was running for president. And one of the costs of his presence within the Republican Party, frankly, his takeover and destruction of what stood for conservatism, is that you now have copycats like Robin Voss, who see big bad Donald Trump taking the fight to Harvard and Yale and institutions of higher learning. And now they went one in on the action. And they see that it excites a radicalized base, a very small portion of what constitutes the Republican coalition, who get their jollies off of sticking it to the woke libs, when in reality, what the University of Wisconsin system is and what our flagship university is the crown jewel of this state. Doesn't mean that college is for everybody. It isn't. Doesn't mean that institutions of higher learning shouldn't be held to high standards. They should. But the economic impact of every dollar you spend in the UW system is one of the best bangs for the buck that Wisconsin taxpayer gets. And the notion that you would just turn that progress we've made around in the name of politics and clicks and retweets and truths, it's indefensible. And my hope is that this is a bargaining position from Speaker Voss, because he knows better. Robin Voss is not a stupid man. He knows that this is an important economic driver for our entire state.
Let's wrap up then with the unanimous ruling by the Wisconsin Supreme Court that struck down some of the 2018 lame duck laws that tried to micromanage the state attorney general's office. Never mind that it took 6.5 years. It's still a ruling that, is always going to be welcomed when it comes in. But what does it say that there was this unanimous ruling now, 6.5 years later, telling Republican legislators you gone too far?
Well, I want to start by congratulating Attorney General Josh Call, who never wavered in this fight, despite losing on a technicality early on. One of the things we know is that checks and balances are important. Another thing we know is that change and progress never happens fast enough. There are way too many people in our state and nation's history who have been left behind, who have had to do without for years and years and years. 6.5 years is a long time, but Josh stayed the course. He got this win. He preserved an important check and balance within Wisconsin government. He should be applauded for that. And we should all take a lesson from that, that sometimes things happen that we don't agree with, that we know are wrong, and that we have to work really, really hard to change. And that change doesn't come easily. It comes very, very hard. I am certainly thinking about that a lot this week as I reflect on my last 2 months. But just because change is hard doesn't mean it's not worth fighting for. So whoever you are, wherever you are, stay engaged, stay in the fight. This stuff matters. Josh Call showed us all that this week, and we all have to try to live up to that and that so many other examples of people persisting and making change in their lives. We can do the same.
Let me close with a point of personal privilege to say that one of the best things about the past couple of months is that many more people got to meet the Joe Zepecki that I know. And that is always going to be a net positive for people in Wisconsin. So thank you for taking that on, for, running the good race. But even more importantly, for the bigger picture, the inspiration that you provided to a whole lot of people that's going to carry over into the future.
Thanks, Pat. Appreciate you, friend.
A local update is coming up next for some of you, followed by Matt and Air on Air. For those of you hanging here, we will wrap up with more of this weekend's fairs and festivals around Wisconsin. And tomorrow, a new report on how the Trump tax giveaway could cost Wisconsin hospitals up to $4 billion over the next decade. Back with more on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlum.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin, chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right. You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wrce.fm/contest-terms. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Thank you for being there for Pat Kreitlow Mornings on WRCE, FM 107.7 and AM 1450, also available on the Civic Media app. I am Phil Nee with a look at sports, beginning with a look at local and area activities. SWAL All-Conference Baseball selections have been announced this week. Fenimore, which made it to the state tournament and lost earlier this week in a semifinal, won the SWAL with a 14-0 record under head coach Brent Scheckler, who was named Coach of the Year. Cuba City was the runner-up, 11-3. Mineral Point, 9-5. Riverdale was 7-7. Southwestern, 6-8. Boscobel, 5-9. Darlington and Iowa Grant both went 2-12. The All-Conference first team members include, from Boscobel, Cameron Luce, a senior. The Bulldogs made it to the WIAA sectional semifinal game this year. Riverdale, with a sophomore on the first team, Ethan Cagle, and a senior, Chase Chitwood. Also, Cuba City's first teamers include Tyson Richard, Andy Leffelholz, and Gavin Vossen. From Darlington, Maddox Goebel, along with Zeke Zuberbühler. Fenimore's Tyson Starkey, Ethan Scheckler, and Casey Dressen. And Iowa Grant's Everett Zimmer and Maddox Fisher. For Mineral Point, first teamers include Clayton Yana, Rylan Lee, and Jackson Wendhausen. On the honorable mention list, Boscobel seniors Landon Hazley and Briar Wayne, and Riverdale sophomore Henry Drone. Cuba City's Henry Cruiser, along with Fenimore's McCoy Miles and Corey Dressen, along with Sean Yankee Fiedler. Mineral Point's Evan Kearns, and Southwestern's Clayton Hendricks and Carson Splinter. The Player of the Year was Ethan Scheckler, again, who helped lead Fenimore to a great season. Ethan was a senior on the team this year. At the WIAA State Baseball Tournament yesterday, Reedsburg saw its season end as they fell to New Berlin Eisenhower 3-1. The Beavers finished the season at 21-7. Seymour was a winner over Aquinas 5-2. That sets the stage for four crowned champions today. The first game getting underway at 9 o'clock when 23-6 Johnson Creek plays 26-4 Pacelli. Division 3, 18-5 Kewaunee takes on Kenosha St. Joseph, which is 22-7. Division 2, Seymour, 26-3, taking on New Berlin Eisenhower, now at 23-5. And Badger in the Division 1 title game tonight at 6 will take on Muskego. Badger is 23-7, Muskego 22-9, and that will pretty much put to a close the high school baseball spring sports season in general. Home talent baseball tonight, a game in the area including Ridgeway doing battle against Footville, Casanova at Wisconsin Dells, and Arena at Sauk Prairie. Mazamani plays at Dodgeville. Blanchardville at Wyota and Argyle at Hollandale. Middleton at Poinette among the games tonight in HTL action. The Brewers did not play last night. Neither do the Cubs. The game is postponed. It'll be made up August 18th as a split doubleheader. The Brewers are now planning to hold a home run derby next month as a part of their 25-year celebration of playing at American Family Field. Ryan Braun and Carlos Gomez will choose sides from former team members. At the end of the team competition, July 25th, the two players with the highest individual scores will square off in the final round of the Home Run Derby. Again, that is July 25th at AmFam Field. In games that were played in the National League, Colorado 3-1 over Washington, Philadelphia 4, Miami 2, Atlanta 5-0 over the Mets, the Dodgers 4, San Diego 3. In the American League, Boston 3, Seattle 1. The Angels 3-2 over the Yankees. Tampa Bay 12, Baltimore 8. Kansas City 6-3 over the Texas Rangers. Houston 11 and the Athletics 4. Interleague play, Pittsburgh at Detroit and St. Louis at the White Sox, postponed. Cincinnati was a 4-2 winner against Minnesota. Toronto 8, Arizona 1. Cleveland 4-2 over San Francisco. The Baltimore Ravens have signed former Packers cornerback Jair Alexander. The team made the announcement on Wednesday. ESPN reports Alexander has agreed on a one-year deal for $6 million. He is a two-time All-Pro defensive back who had established himself as one of the best cornerbacks in pro football before missing more than half of Green Bay's regular season games in the last 2 years. The Ravens had troubles defending the pass during the 2024 NFL season. What the Bucks were asking for makes it apparent they weren't going to trade Giannis Antetokounmpo to the San Antonio Spurs. OpenCourtBasketball.com reports Milwaukee's front office said it would trade its superstar for rookie guard Stephen Castle, wing Devin Vassell, forward Jeremy Sohan, the number two pick in this year's NBA draft, Atlanta Hawks draft picks controlled by the Spurs, plus five more first-round draft picks. The message appears to be that Giannis is not available in a trade. The Big East Volleyball Championships will be hosted by Marquette again this season. This will be the ninth time the competition is held in Milwaukee. The conference made the official announcement on Wednesday. Marquette and Creighton have alternated hosting duties since 2011, except for 2016. The Golden Eagles will be playing for a new head coach this season. Tom Mendoza is taking over for former head coach Ryan Tice. In the WNBA last night, Phoenix was a winner over Connecticut, 83-75. The NBA Finals, well, they'll wind up in Indiana tonight. Oklahoma City, if they win, it's the championship. If not, Indiana pushes it to another game. Oklahoma City at Indiana tips off at 7:30 this evening. In other NBA news nationally, big stuff out of Los Angeles. The Buss family is entering an agreement to sell a majority stake in the Los Angeles Lakers, marking the end of an era for one of the NBA's most influential owners, according to a report by ESPN. Mark Walter, the CEO and chairman of holding company TWG Global, is set to take the majority ownership under the agreement, which values the Lakers at $10 billion. ESPN reported on Wednesday, making it the largest ever sale of a pro sports team. So that will be worked out. The late Jerry Buss bought the Lakers in 1979 and turned it into one of the most popular franchises in pro sports, winning five championships during their now iconic Showtime era in the 1980s. With sports during Pat Kreitlow Mornings on WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450, I'm Phil Nee. It's a beautiful day in Richland Center. Enjoy your day.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Israel's prime minister is telling his troops to go harder on Iran after a morning attack destroyed apartments near Tel Aviv and also hit a hospital.
We're targeting military sites. We're targeting nuclear sites. We're targeting missile sites. They're targeting a hospital.
Benjamin Netanyahu is hoping for military help from America.
The partnership with the United States, the partnership with President Trump, with whom I speak to almost every day, is incredible.
Do not eat chicken Alfredo meals bought at Walmart or Kroger's under the brand names Market Side and Home Chef. Listeria has killed three people and left 17 very sick across 13 states. Landfall this morning near Acapulco for a hurricane that has exploded in the day from a tropical storm to a Category 4, back to a 3 now. An anomaly is how SpaceX describes the explosion of its Starship rocket on the Texas test pad. This is ABC News.